Okay, tonight is Monday night, December 17th. This is the Gemara Shir, Moed Katan, middle of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai, we're on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Last week, we focused completely on the Gemara statement in line 7 that Tzur b'merabanan avid dina l'nafshei b'milsa the psikalei. That was the sugya which enabled a Talmud Chacham to take the law into his own hands in a matter which he is 100% convinced he is right. We examined it based on the Gemara Bava Kama, suggested a couple of possibilities as to what the basis of that particular halacha is. The Gemara now goes back to the topic at hand, and we'll continue quite a bit with this a variety of different types of cases of somebody who deserves to be put in cheirim or shamto or nidui. So the Gemara says, it's line 10 or so from the top of the page, is a little dot after the word lei. That's where we're up to. Hahu tsurba mirabana. There's a little bet next to the word hahu. Hahu tsurba mirabanan. Tehevu sonu shomane. Shomane. It was a member of the rabbinic gang, tsurba mirabanan, upon whom some rumors, nasty rumors, were floating around. The rumors were that he wasn't conducting himself appropriately, particularly with women. He was not conducting himself appropriately. There was no hardcore evidence, simply rumors. And that's what it means. Sonu shomei, shomane. Those heard about the rumors. Now, for a Talmud Chacham, the rumors are enough to apparently warrant some type of action that he ought to reform his behavior, mend his behavior. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Heichi li'aved, what should I do under these circumstances? Lishamte, should I put him in cheirim, in shamta and cheirim? Sricha le'rabbana, the rabbis need him in order to teach. He may have been a very effective teacher. So because of a couple of rumors, I'm going to now disqualify him and preclude his students from having access to him. Lo l'shamte, if I choose not to put him into cheirim, lo l'shamte, ko mischel shema dishmaya, it will lead to a chilul Hashem if I don't put him into cheirim. Fine. So let's see what the concerns and the issues are. And so we'll take a look, take at the source sheet, which is the Ritva, number one. And the Ritva says, he is the one who interprets just the way I interpreted it. They have a sonu shomane, perush, the first bracketed Ritva, Shahaya Parutz Kitsat Bezima. He was a little, how would you translate Parutz, Pritzus?
You know,
inappropriate when it comes to sexual matters. Velo Haya Shmuasa Tova. And the rumors that were circulating about him were not the very best ones. What he did was he found himself alone in a room with somebody who's a pnuya. So, what exactly is the issue to be misyached with a pnuya? Technically, according to Torah law, there is no isur to be miyached with a pnuya. Pnuya is a single woman. That single woman is eligible to him, even if he was married. He's allowed to have multiple wives. So The only time that yichud is really asur is if the person is an erva. If the person is not permitted to marry, if you're not permitted to marry that person, so you are not permitted to be miyached with her. And that's the isur of yichud in general. It's limited to nashim ho asurot lanu. However, David HaMelech ubet dino will go there even on a pnuya in order to make sure that nothing happens. You want to marry this woman? Fine, take her out on a date and get engaged, get married, and then you'll have her. But to simply seclude yourself with her is inappropriate. Inappropriate. And therefore, this is considered vahu ki'ur gadol litzur b'merabana. It is very inappropriate for a rabbinic scholar to be miyached even with someone who does not represent an isur, an erva unto him. This was the rumor mill, and as a result, they were debating whether to put him into cherim or not. Now, Rashi did not say exactly what they heard. All Rashi says was, if you look at Rashi, the third line, Shiotz in alav Shmuos Ros. They're talking about him inappropriately. Inappropriately. Right. So, you can just leave, Rashi leaves it up to speculation a little, but the Ritva, as we see, says it quite openly, quite emphatically. In fact, our guest speaker, the Shabbos, she made reference to this din, even, you know, and she said it protected her all the time of any possibility of somebody hurling an accusation against her or having been violated by anybody else. She told everybody in court, you know, you can't lock this door. If you want to meet with me, no problem, but I can't have the chair, can't have the door locked. And she understood that the halakha of yichud is designed to offer protection for oneself and from being accused falsely of inappropriate behavior. Right. So that's what the Ritva says. Now, the question which all Rishonim ask is that if you go, I'm not going to tell you the question, you're going to ask the question yourself. I'm just going to tell you where to look. Please go back to Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. It's about two-thirds of the way down. It's in the middle of a line. There is a ches in parentheses next to the word tashma. We learned this Gemara, we explained it. So read those four lines until the next, till the beginning of the next line, and ask the question which all Rishonim ask on the Gemara we learned thus far.
Yeah, Tashma.
Minuda. Yeah. Yudzayin Amud Aleph. Tezvav Amud Aleph. Tezvav Amud Aleph. Everybody have the place?
Yeah.
It's Tesvav Amud Aleph, about two-thirds of the way down. You'll see there's a Toshma in the middle, Amar Rav Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
Toshma, everybody have it?
Mm-hmm.
There's a Ches next to, the, right after the Toshma.
Mm-hmm.
A little Ches in a parentheses. You don't have that?
I have a little Nun.
Okay, fine, but whatever it is.
Okay,
the Nun is next to the word Shoneh.
Right, yeah.
You can teach.
The Brisa says, in the name of Rav Yosef, that what? A menude shonin shoneh v'shonin lo. Shoneh means to what?
Teacher.
He's allowed to teach. V'shonin lo. You're allowed to teach him. So what's the dilemma that Rav Yehuda is facing in our Gemara? Rav Yehuda was confronted and said, I don't know what should I do. If I put him into cherim, After all, his students need him. And if I'm not going to put him into Chayrim, Mischalo Shem Shamayim. Yeah.
If the Gemara says right afterwards, Mukhram lo shonim lo shonim lo. So if Rabbi Yehuda's question is, if he puts him in Chayrim, you need him, how can he consider...
Okay, so one of the answers is, our Gemara has been very loose with its tongue and used the word Menuda, Shamta, and Mukhram very loosely.
Interchangeably.
So one of the answers of the Rishonim will be that Rabbi Yehuda did not want to put him into Nidui. He wanted to put... I keep using the word Chayrim because I don't have a better word to translate Nidui into. Nidui means really you're pushed aside, isolated. So I don't have a better word. But that's going to be one of the answers. That there is the Gemara itself recognizes the distinction. But the question is, if he was really in Nidui, Menudah, what was the problem according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda could have put him into Chayrim, and he still could have taught. Because it says, Shoneh, he's allowed to teach. U Vishonin Lo, you're allowed to... Right. So, that's the question which everybody asks. So there are a variety of answers to this question. So take a look at the Ritva, starting on page 1 again. The Ritva says, Heichi na'avid. The Gemara said, Rabbi Yehuda said, how should I handle this case? Nishamte, should I put him into Shamta or Cherem? Srichile Rabbanam, the rabbi's teaching. Perush, ve'af al gav the kaimelon minude shone v'shone lo. Even though we just read that a minude can teach and you can teach him, hani mili berichuk dalet amos. When can somebody who is a minude teach or you teach him if the distance between the Talmud and the Rebbe is at least dalet amos, approximately 8 feet? But within 8 feet, you can't teach him, and he can't teach. Uginai hadavar l'talmidim. It is considered shameful for the talmidim that their rebbe has to be at a distance of 8 feet away from him. Why is it a shame to the talmidim? Why is it shameful to the talmidim? Why do you think it's shameful to the talmidim if the rebbe has to stand 8 feet away? Why?
They may not hear him properly.
What?
They may not hear him.
Good. That would be more a halachic concern, not so much genai. Why would it be shameful? Why does it look terrible?
Everyone's going to know that this guy is mechayer.
Okay, so how does it look bad on the students? How does it look bad on the students? It's genai who doesn't say genai who l'rebbe. It's a genai who for the talmidim.
This is who you're learning from.
Exactly. You can't find a better rebbe. Other than somebody who's been put into Chayrim, this is the Rebbe who you think is the great role model that you're trying to learn from? I've asked that question many times to Rabbeim I had in high school. Honey knows exactly who I'm talking about. Right.
Without knowing you were quoting the Ritva.
What?
Before you
Without knowing the Ritva. Exactly. Jesus, my Rabbeim. Uginai Udabla. Vizehu shenitrachaku talmidov shel Rabbi Eliezer kidemuchach b'Sanhedrin. This is also the reaction of the famous person, the most famous Talmud Chacham to have been put into Chayrim, which was Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer had this debate between him and the Chachamim about some type of an oven. Tanur Shalach Noi, was it Tomei or Tar? And it was, everybody knows that story, it's Gemara Bava Metzia as well, where he said, if the halacha is like me, let the water flow upstream. And the water flowed upstream. Let the walls of the Beis Medrash cave in. And they caved in. Let there be a voice from heaven. And everybody knows the response. HaTorah lo b'shamayim. We follow the road. So he was put into Chayrim. And his students came to him, but what did they do? They stood at a distance of Arba Amos.
That's a slightly different situation we got here going on in this Gemara.
Yeah, this is much worse.
Yeah.
I agree. But we're just talking about the legalities of it, not the way it looks. This would look worse. I agree with you. It would look worse. Yet, there has been ample evidence in the Gemara of people who were undoubtedly acting terribly inappropriately, and yet they felt it was appropriate to continue to learn from them. The most famous example is, of course, Acher. Of course. He became a total apikoros, and Rabbi Meir would run over to him, follow him, as he was riding his horse on Yom Kippur.
Well, that was only one guy, and Rabbi Meir was hoping to get him to do tshuva.
Hey, but he was still learning from him. He asked him shilas, not just try to do tshuva. He asked him halakha queries.
Yeah. The problem over here that he was in Nidui, or the problem is what the reputation that he was getting, because it's two different things.
The Ran's just explaining that the learning, it could have taken place b'richuk dalet amos.
Right.
So why shouldn't I put him in the chayrut? Because even though the learning could have taken place, the Talmidim are going to feel embarrassed and ashamed if their Rebbe has to be standing at a distance, and everybody's going to ask the question, why is your Rebbe standing? Well, he was accused of such a... That's not a very good thing for the Talmidim. That's all.
Yeah, but his reputation would have been bad regardless of... The reputation would have been there regardless of whether they put him in the Talmidim. His reputation... That putting him in the Talmidim is not going to change his reputation.
Correct, but here the concern was the Talmidim.
Right, yeah, before the first Talmidim.
First time, that's what he says. Kenai ula talmidim.
So why?
We're not worried about his reputation.
Put him in Nidui. His reputation was there, regardless of what the decision was.
But it makes the talmidim feel uncomfortable. It makes them, and they perhaps maybe he was the best Rebbe on the planet. They loved him, and he wanted them to continue to interact with him. So he had a little hachmanis on the Talmidim, even though he deserves it, I'm not going to do it, so that the relationship should continue between him and the Rebbe. Yeah?
But doesn't everyone have a cheskes kashrus? So here we are, we're building a reputation. What if this guy's really kosher? You have a question
okay.
to share.
So that's a very good question. And the halacha of choshed b'ksherim in relationship to Talmidei Chachamim has a very small little tolerance. And a Talmud Chacham has to put him or herself in such a way that there are no shmuot ra'ot. There are no shmuot ra'ot. That's how far HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects a Talmud Chacham to conduct himself.
But if there's personal animosity with someone else, perhaps another intellectual rival who is motzi, let's say, Ibarra, and it's really
okay. That's also a possibility. It's a possibility. But here, apparently, they felt it was somewhat legitimate. Felt it was legitimate. So that's the Ritva. Take a look at page 2. Is the Ran. And the Ran says, "Srichile Rabbana." So Rabbi Yehuda said, maybe the rabbis need him. V'amrinu la'el, lo niskar v'lo niskarin lo, lo shoneh v'lo shonin lo. The halacha is, by cherem, he is not permitted to be hired, nor you can't hire him, and he can't hire you. Lo shoneh v'lo shonin lo. He can't teach, nor can... Can you teach him? So the Ran understands that that the problem is that he can't teach at all. Why? Because he assumes he was put into chayrin. The Ran understands that when Rabbi Yehuda said li shamte, should I put him into shamta? What he really means chayrin. And as you pointed out, the Gemara on Daf Tes Vav made that distinction between Shamta and Nidui. So a Shamta, a Cherem, the person is not allowed to teach. So if he's not allowed to teach and you're not allowed to learn from him, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda expressed the concern, Srichilei Rabbanan. You don't have to ask any questions that it's against the Gemara. It's exactly in confirmation with the Gemara. But now asks the Ron the next question. So what question do you think the Ron's going to ask? So why didn't Rabbi Yehuda just put him into Nidui? The Imtoimar, Yinaduhu. Let him just put him into Nidui. And then he would be able to teach. Utnan, we learned in the Brisa, Minude, Shone, Vishonen, Lo. Says the Ran, V'yesh Loimar, the Alaveira, Lavar Niduihu. For a real serious Aveira, we never give Nidui. What type of situations have we typically learned where there is an element of nidui? What type of situations?
Insults.
Insults. Lack of kavod. That's where you put somebody into nidui. But where somebody does something terribly wrong, there is no nidui. Mishum de lesle zman lamid yom. Because for that, we don't necessarily consider 30 days as a limit. We learned the Gemara that a nidui expires when? After 30 days. But if somebody does something really seriously wrong, there's no limit to 30 days. Ela barshamta ad yomoso im lo yashuv. He remains in cherim until the day he dies, unless he does tshuva. And there's going to be some discussion later whether this Talmud Chacham ever did tshuva or not. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Good. And in fact, if you go to page number 3, you see the Shulchan Aruch that operates with the that he was let's operate with the guideline that he was put into Nidui, and therefore it was he could have theoretically taught, but at a distance of Dalet Amos. So let's see how the Shulchan Aruch codes this actually. Haminudeh ein yoshvin b'dalet amosav. You're not permitted to sit within Dalet Amos. Chutz me ishtei ubanav. Wife and his children, his immediate family, are allowed to sit next to him. The Yesh Omrim, says the Ramah, af b'nei beso shari. Not only his wife and children, any member of the household is permitted to sit next to him. And then he writes at the end, v'yesh lahakel. Even though there are some who disagree with me, you can be makeup. V'ein ochlin, you can't eat together with him. V'ein mezamnin olav, you cannot make him included, participate in a zimun. So if he is the third person, there is no zimun. V'ein kolin oso l'chol davish etzorech asara. He cannot be part of a minyan. Says the Ramah, avolim lo niduhu beferush, but if they did not explicitly put him into nidui, afal gav shehu avaryan, o she'avar gzeres tzibah, even if he did an avera, or he violated a decree of the community, mitztarfen oso l'minyan yud l'hispala limo. He can count to a minion, even though he's well-known transgressor, and he has transgressed a communal policy. Now, Ramesha has a tshuva, I should have put this in, that this rule of the Ramah is not always true. You can count a what? Exactly. Ramesha is of the opinion that a Mechal Shabbos can't be counted to a minyan. Ramesh is of the opinion that a Mechal Shabbos shouldn't get an aliyah. Ramesh is of the opinion that a Mechal Shabbos who pours wine, you're not allowed to drink the wine. Ramesh is very machmir and takes the Gemara in Chulin, those of you in the Daf Yomi, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, about a mumar l'chal Shabbos is a mumar l'chal ha-toyra kula. He takes it literally. A mumar l'chal ha-toyra kula. What? Correct. The Rav disagreed with Rav Moshe on all. Rav Moshe also said a Kayin Mechal Shabbos, now out of Duchen. The Rav disagreed with Rav Moshe in every one of those cases. He said the Gemara doesn't mean to say that you are like a Nachri, like a Gentile, when it says mumah l'chala Torah kula. If you are a mumah l'avodah zarah, if you're a mumah l'avodah zarah, the Gemara also uses that expression that you are mumah l'chala Torah kula. But the Gemara also uses the expression that you are like a god, like an akul. Because we can understand that. If you don't believe in God and you're worshipping idols, then you either deny Anochi Hashem Elokecha, or you deny Lo Yieh Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Ponai, not to have any other gods. You might accept our God, but you believe in what's called Shituf. There are other gods assisting and aiding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's also Avodah Zarah. That I can understand, says the Rav Yomamish in Akum. So if you're an Akum and you handle the wine, you can't count to a minyan. If you're an Akum, you can't say Berachas Kohanim if you're a Kohen. But a Mechal Shabbos, the Gemara just meant to indicate how severe an offense it is that it's considered as if you are Mumah L'chala Torah Kula, and you forfeit halachic trustworthiness in every area of halacha, every area of halacha. That is why if somebody was a Mechal Shabbos and invites you to their house, technically you can't eat there because they have no halachic ne'manus that what they're serving you is acceptable, is kosher. However, it doesn't mean that you're a guy. And under those circumstances, counting to a minyan is not a halacha ne'manus. Getting an aliyah is not a halacha ne'manus. Reciting Birchas Kohanim is not a halacha ne'manus. Therefore, the Rav always said, every Kohen who's a Mechal Shabbos, you should encourage him to duchen. He can count to a minyan, give him an aliyah. Who knows if it'll make him, be chayzer b'tshuva or not. Yes?
Eidus is
a din in ne'manus.
Right.
Where it's a din in ne'manus, he forfeits his halachic ne'manus. Correct. Yeah.
That's why you can't do for kashrus.
That's correct. Because that's Eidechad Ne'eman B'Yisurin. That's correct.
Or Kiddush.
What?
Eidechad
Kiddush. Of course. That's the two questions you ask. Are you related? Is he a Shomer Shabbos? That's all. That's the only two questions you have to ask. Yeah. Yeah. So the Ramah says that if he's not been... So, however, the Ramah continues, "Va'afilu minu demamish." Even if he's actually been put into nidui, she'ein mitzarfin oso l'minyan mikol makom mutter lehispala be'odo be'saknesas. You are permitted to continue davening while he is in the shul. Umashinohagu legorsho mi be'saknesas. And that which has been public policy, that somebody who is in nidui, they throw him out of shul, and they don't continue the service until he is out. Shelo yitchok yechidim, shetzrichim lehisrachek me'arba amosav. The reason why they push him out is because anybody else is not going to be able to stand within dalan amos. That means anybody who has seat is young, people are going to have to what? Go somewhere. They're going to get very crowded. And out of rachmanis, for the people who have to be crowded, let's get rid of him and we create another 8 feet in which to stand. V'asur b'tich boses u'b'tisporis u'b'ninas asana. That we had already. He's not permitted to wash his clothing. He's not permitted to take a haircut. Not permitted to wear shoes. Ke'avel. U'mutul adiratayra. Shoneh v'shonin lo. He can teach, you can teach him. Niskar, he can be hired, v'niskaron lo, and you can be hired to him. However, hamuchram, lo shoneh v'lo shonin lo, lo niskar v'lo niskaron lo. Somebody who's in cherim cannot teach, cannot learn, you can't be hired, and he can't hire you. V'chein oso lehana oso yosa michtei chayav. We saw that as well. That you are not permitted to provide any support for him other than the bare essentials so that he shouldn't drop dead. Avul shona hu la'atzmo, but he's allowed to learn himself. Shelo yishkach talmudo, so he shouldn't forget. Ve'osalo chanus kitana, he's allowed to open a little kiosk, kidei parnasaso, to earn what he needs in order to survive. umutar lidaber im haminudav im hamuchra. You can have a little a parlor meeting of all muhram people and all menuda people. They can get together and talk to each other. Ela im kein hechmiu alav din beferush. Unless the Bezdin said, you know what? Not only can't you talk to regular people, you can't even talk to people who are your co-menudiniks and co-muchrumniks. And the Ramah adds, "Umikol makom lo yarve ima bedvarim v'lo yidaber elin mitzorech k'moshe medaber ima avev." The makom she'asu leishay bedalan amosav, in a place where it's usher to sit, where he's not allowed to sit. Kol adam she'yoshev tchila v'hamenuda balosham. Ain't sarich lehisrachek misham. So if I'm sitting here first and a menuda guy walks in, it's the burden on him to take a hike. It's not my job to take a hike in order to distance myself from him. But asur, now here comes a critical line that I want you to remember for later. This is a famous Ramah, and it's based on a shach. The asur likones lebeso dehevek kedalan amosav. That your house, this the menuda's house, the entire menuda house is considered like dalan amosav. So if you go into his house and he has 20 different rooms and he's going to be sitting in another room, you're still not allowed to enter his house, because beso is all considered. It's applied in many different halachos, namely that what a bayis, all of the bayis is considered like dalan amosav. So just remember it. We're going to come back to this in just a second. Come back to it in just a second. Yeah, come back in a second. I'd like to read a tshuva of the Maril. Who discusses a related question to this, and he brings our Gemara to somehow establish his opinion. So the question was asked to the Maril, Al Bikur Sone. Are you allowed to go visit somebody who you hate? Are you allowed to be visit him when he's sick? Bikur Chayim.
Are you allowed or you're obligated?
So the question was Al Bikur Sone. So he's going to analyze the question. That's the question. Is there any issue of somebody visiting someone who he hates? So the Maril says, Adoni, the questioner, Lo Piresh Maitai Masonele. Firstly, he didn't say, why are you hating him? E Heveme Osan Shemutalisna Osam. If it is somebody who the halacha says you're allowed to hate, why? Lo korim bo amcha, kevan she'eno osem maase amcha. The pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, v'nasi be'amcha lo ta'or. A nasi amongst your nation, you are not permitted to curse. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin darshins, when are you not allowed to curse him? Be'ose maase amcha. When he follows Torah regulations. But if eino maase ose maase amcha, if he does not follow Torah regulations, afilu lahachyoso ein mitzuvin. You're not obligated to support him. If a person is rebellious against Torah law, you're not obligated. Rebellious, that's what it's talking about, rebellious. Not that he doesn't know, or that he's rebellious. Then you're not even commanded to support him. Va'afilu bein al-aviv eino ne'enash. A child is not permitted to curse his father. It's a special pasuk. U'mikalel aviv imo mos yumas. Also in Parshas Mishpatim. A child who curses his father, who is eino mos ma'ona osa ma'se'amcha, the child is not held accountable. Kol shekein she'eino chayav levaklo. Certainly there is no obligation to visit such a person. Shehu gam kein b'chlal gemilus chasadim, Bikur Cholam is certainly considered Gmilus Chasadim. Vehebe Gam Bichlal Lahachyoso. It's also considered as part of sustaining somebody. To visit them is to help sustain them. Kidemuchach Peret Ein Vein Hamudor. Just as it says in the fifth parak of Nedarim. The time of the Bikur Cholim, Choshev Lahana Aso Nami. So, when the question is, if I make a neder not to get any benefit from you, I don't want to get any benefit from you. Okay, so if you offer me to take me to a game, I can't go. I'm not permitted to benefit from you. If you want to give me some food, I can't accept it. However, can I do a mitzvah? So the Gemara Nedarim says, I can't even what? I can't even visit you. Why? Because I get benefit when I'm the kind of mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. I feel good about it. So I'm getting hanoah from you. So therefore he says, under those circumstances, of course you're not allowed to go visit such a person. That's the reason why he's a sonar. If it's, however, the rest of us who are not more, they're not rebellious against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't have to hate such a person, even though they do an avera. Elo yetzer hara shel habriyot tokfa lisa oso. It's your yetzer hara that is pushing you to do what? To express hatred. Hadarabah. Mitzvah tfei levakro me'ini shachrini. It is a bigger mitzvah to visit him than anybody else. Kidemuchach beilu mitzios. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, da afilu t'inas sone kodem leprikas ohev afal gav tzar balechayim de'oraisa mishum de'lokuf yitzro adif. What does this mean? There are two cases where the Torah tells us you have to respond. If you see somebody's donkey is overloaded, and if you see somebody's donkey, the packages are falling off. So the one, if it's overloaded, the mitzvah is called prika, unloading, make load, lighten the burden. And the mitzvah of loading up is called te'ina. So what happens if you have the person who you hate, his packages fell off? The person who you love, a good friend of yours, his packages, his donkey is buckling under the weight. So not only is he your friend, but there is a potential of sparing Tzar Belechayim. The animal's in pain if he's overloaded. Nonetheless, which one do you go to first? You go to the Sone to load up his thing, because you have to learn how to, what? To control your emotions and to break that pattern of expressing hate. So here too, under those circumstances, what should happen? Of course you should go visit such a person. What are you asking your kasha? You should visit him before you visit anybody else. Vahahu sone, mairi dera vayavera. What's that talking about? Maybe he's talking about, you saw him do something, beino lebeino. He didn't do it in public. Nobody else knows about it. I'm the only one who saw him do the avera. The ihu mutter listener also. I am permitted to hate him. Kidemuchach barve psachim. But asu lahagid lacherim. You're not allowed to tell this to anybody else. The ain maminim lo. Umapik olav shame ra. Because then, who said somebody should believe you that you saw the guy doing avera? And you're telling lashon hara about it. Vafilu hachi lakuf yitzro adav. That it's still better under those circumstances to visit him. And do what? And overcome your hatred of such a person. Fine. Now go to the last paragraph. The old raya mi perik elu megalchem. There's also a proof to what I just said from the third parak in Bayit Katan. The Garcina Hassam. Rab Yuda Shamte Lahahu Tzurbe Mirabanan, they have a Sane Shomene. Rab Yehuda put into Cherem this Talmud Chacham upon whom they were circulating rumors. V'ka'ah mahasam. And the Gemara says there, I should have read the Gemara first, but okay.
Spoiler.
What?
Spoiler.
Ki cholash Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda got sick, the guy who put him to Cherim, Rabbi Yehuda got sick, Ailu Rabbanon l'shiyule. All of the rabbis came to inquire, Pirat Rebakro, to visit him. All Ihu Nami Bahadayu. The person who was put into Cherim by Rabbi Yehuda came as well to visit Rabbi Yehuda. Visono Heve. And he obviously hated him. Why did he hate Rabbi Yehuda? Because he put him to Cherim. V'i Heve Nira. Kisomach le'edo, if the reason why he came was because he wanted to take delight as to why Rabbi Yehuda was sick, he didn't really come to visit him. You see what happens when you put me into Cherim? You get sick, Rebbele. Chas v'chalila. Chalila v'chas. God forbid. D'rabbanan shavkuhu l'meyo bahadayu mishim kvoide d'Rabbi Yehuda. God forbid that what? That the rabbis would allow him to do something like that and hurt Rabbi Yehuda. They would never allow him to do that. V'gam kol Yisrael einam chashudim shiyismichu l'chole chavereya. Jews are never suspected of what? Of taking delight when anybody gets sick. Afal pi shesono, even though you hate his guts. Must be talking about a very holy society. That they don't rejoice and delight when their enemies get sick. Ein smechin l'misaso. Nobody is hoping and happy when he dies, and even when he's ill. The chol chole in every illness, mesukenu. You never know from that illness if you're going to die. So nobody takes rejoicing in that. So here the Maril brings proof from our story with this student. We'll read in a second under those circumstances. Now if you go to page 5 for a second, go to page 5, you see the Shulchan Aruch handling this particular issue. Says the Mechaber, Afilu Hagadol Yelech Levaker Hakata, an adult who you know, should go visit a child. Don't say, it's pasmanish. Yeah, it's not me. I'm going to go visit the little yundachnik. V'afilu kama pomen bayayin. Even though multiple times of the day. V'afilu ben gilo. Even if it's his exact age and he's considered like a, you know, he's a friend. I don't know exactly what it means. V'afilu ben gilo. I don't quite understand it. As long as it's not an imposition upon the sick person, sometimes you're not up to guests. So don't be a nudnik and come in. Vidavka says Vyesh Omrim, says the Ramah, Visone Yochol Lelich Levakar Chole. A sone can be Mevakar Chole. And he quotes the Maril. The printer put in Maril. Says the Rama, v'lo nirali. I disagree. A person should not visit a chole. Elo lo yivaker chole, v'lo yinachem ha'avel, shehusono. You should not be menachem avel, somebody who you hate. Shelo yechashev, so you should not be accused, shesameach le'edo, that you are delighting in his misfortune. V'ein lo elatzar. And he's only going to be agonized by somebody who is rejoicing in his illness. Kain nirali. So it appears to me as well. So there's a machloikus in the Ramah and the Maril. And this is halacha l'maisa. Should you be menachem avel, somebody who you really can't stand? Should you be mevach
acholim? There's also the fact that the chola might be upset just by seeing.
Correct. That's what the Ramah says. The chol is going to get agonized by seeing him.
Well, even on the float, just the fact, even if the person's coming for good reasons, it still makes a problem.
Correct.
What an opportune time for reconciliation.
What?
What an opportune
yes,
time.
Yes, that is true. So take a look at the Shach on page 6. the Kosav Haba, so he's commenting on the Ramah who said Lo Yivaker. The Kosav Haba de Lilavos es Asone, to lend money to somebody who you hate, Leka Lemechash Lesameach Le'edo. You don't have to worry about what? That he is going to take revenge on what? That he's going to delight in your misfortune. You don't have to worry about it. Basher hu, sof kol adam. Everybody's going to die anyhow, eventually. And in the case of a loan, what's going to happen? He's going to have to pay you back anyhow. So it's not that he's going to accrue an advantage by coming to you. The loan is still going to have to be paid, so there's nothing to worry about under those circumstances. Aval linachem ovel o levakir chole shehusono yesh lochush l'kach. You should be concerned about that, just as the Rama said. Umiu hakol lefi mashehu hasina u lefi mashehem hasonim. What you really have to do is what? Judge and evaluate what was the cause of, what was the fight all about? You know, how do you feel about it? It's a very subjective, says the Shach. Now there's also a parallel Mishnah about being subjective and a sone in Maseches Makos. In Makos, the second perek, the Gemara is talking about Elu Hein Halokin, Hagah Hagolin. These are the people who go to Orin Miklat. If they cause the demise of a person, Bishogeg, without intent. So the Mishnah says, Sone Eino Gole. That if somebody who is a Sone killed somebody, Bishogeg, he does not go to Orin Miklat. Why don't you think he goes to Orin Miklat? Because it wasn't really a Shogeg. He planned on it, he conspired. And then, so the Mishnah then says, no, sometimes the Sone goes to Golos. Hakol lefi Sono. It just depends on what the situation is. If it's abundantly evident that what, he set this up, then he shouldn't go to Golos. He can't receive atonement for what he did. But if it's abundantly clear that this was not a setup, and it was a true accident under those circumstances, you know that. So take one of the examples of the Torah. Somebody's chopping wood and a splint flew 30 feet away. You can't plan that, to have a splint go and hit somebody, even if the person who walked by is your sone. That obviously deserves goals. But if you have a bucket and you're lowering it down and somebody's walking by and he what? He happens to be walking by, it slipped out of your hand. So here we can say it didn't exactly slip out of your hand. You let it go, and therefore you should not go to Ari Miklat under those circumstances.
Is it possible?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Is it possible that the Shach was saying, Ulavos being Malava the mace, not lending him money? Because it seems to fit in better, Shehu Kol Sof Kol Adam.
Right? That would be good. Yes. Yes. Good. Okay, let's continue to Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda was faced with this dilemma. Amalei l'Rabba Barchana. Midi shemiyalach b'ha? Have you heard anything to resolve my dilemma? Put him in chayrim, not put him in chayrim. Amalei hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Mai dichsiv. What is the intent of the pasuk? It's in Malachi. It's the last pasuk of the Haftarah of Parshas Toldos. Ki sifsei kohen yishmeru das, v'sora yivakshu mipihu, ki malach Hashem tzvaosu. The lips of a kohen you should try to gain intelligence from, and you should seek Torah from his mouth, because he is a malach. So the Gemara, what do you mean? The kohen is a malach. If the Rebbe is like a malach, then you should come and learn. But if he's not a malach, you shouldn't necessarily seek Torah. So I'm not expecting anybody to come to the shir next week. Not expecting anybody. So therefore, So what is this halacha telling him? The Talmidim should not be interested in learning from this guy. Therefore, Shamte Rabbi Yehuda. Once he heard this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda put him into Cherem, because there's no downside. Talmidim who need him, sorry buddies, go get yourself another Rebbe.
How does the Pasuk tell us that again?
The Torah says, the Navi says, you shall seek Torah from a Kohen, from the lips of a Kohen, because he's a Malach Hashem Tzvos. He's a Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean, he's a Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's a Kohen. So the Gemara darshins, if the Kohen conducts himself like a Malach, then Torah Yevakshim Mipiv. But if the Rebbe, the Kohen, does not conduct himself like a Malach, under those circumstances, do not seek Torah from him. Do not seek Torah from him. Yeah. Lesof ichlish Rabbi Yehuda. At the end, Rabbi Yehuda got sick. Asu rabbanan l'shiyule bay. So the rabbis came to visit him. For asu ihu nami bahadayu. And he came as well. Kadchazya Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda saw this Talmud who put into Cherem, chiyeh, he smiled. He smiled, chuckled a little. Amalei, so the student told Rabbi Yehuda, lo mistayech deshamte lahahu gavra. It's not bad enough that you put that guy into Cherem. He meant himself, of course. It's not bad enough. You have to laugh at me as well? What's wrong with you, Rabbi Yehuda? You had to do that as well? Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda said, Lav bididoch michai chana. I'm not laughing at you. And the chi ela, the chi azlina lahahu alma, bidicha datoi. When I go upstairs to heaven, I'm going to have a big grin on my face. Why? That I did not engaged in chanifus. I didn't try to hide the right thing to do, despite the fact that you were what? A Talmud Chacham. Some Talmidei Chachamim protect their friends, and under those circumstances, even though they deserve to be put into Cherem, they won't put them into Cherem. That's called chanifa. Flattering. I was not guilty of flattering. That's why I was smiling now, because I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu upstairs will be fine and dandy with me. In fact, some Rishonim learn that was the original concern of Rabbi Yehuda. Why he was considering not to put him into Cherem. Because it means why he should put him in Cherem. Because kol mischalel shem shamayim. If I don't put him into Cherem, chilul Hashem will take place. So there are three interpretations as to why chilul shem shamayim will take place. First and foremost is because if people see that the rabbis play favorites, then they say this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his representatives, his emissaries, Talmidei Chachamim. If I were to do something wrong, they put me into Cherem. But one of their buddies, one of their cronies, they don't. That leads to Chilul Shem Shamayim. A second concern is Chilul Shem Shamayim, that somebody is, forget about your cronies, somebody is doing something wrong, inappropriate, and you don't do anything about it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is desecrated. And why? And even more importantly, because other people will then learn, oh, there's nothing so serious about this. The rabbis considered putting him into Cherem and decided not to. So, not so terrible to do what this guy did, and they will learn from him. And as a result, he was concerned about, that's how the Namuki Yosef learns, that they will learn from his actions, and therefore he had to do it. That's why he was considering to put him into Cherem, despite the fact that it would have cost him the Talmidim the opportunity to learn from their Rebbe.
What's the third reason?
The third thing was, like I said, Chilul Shem Shamayim, or that people will be accused the Rebbe of Chanifa.
Mm-hmm.
That's two.
What?
You said there were three.
Well, three. One is that somebody's going to learn from it. Two is a desecration of heaven's name. Number three, that people are going to accuse the Rabbeim of... Yeah?
Doesn't seem to be anything in the Gemara directly about approaching this individual and trying to get him to do tshuva, or is it subsumed that they had already done that?
It's a good question. That's a good question. There's nothing in the dialogue here to ask him to do tshuva. The assumption is, that's what everybody assumes, that the guy who is a Talmud Chacham and is in Cheirim, he knows what he did, and he knows the only one way to get out is to do tshuva.
You can say the same thing about Acher as well, that he obviously knew enough to go Rav Meir.
Okay, so but Acher thought that the doors of tshuva were closed for him. Mm. He said that he heard a bas kol from heaven that everybody can do tshuva chutz me Acher. Right. So just now that you mentioned that, the Rav, of course, didn't believe that there's nobody in this world for whom tshuva doesn't work. It's effective even for... What does the Gemara mean? Elisha ben Avuya had two personalities, two names. He was Elisha ben Avuya, and he was Acher. So what the Bas Kol was saying to him, if you're going to continue as Acher,
there's no truth.
But if you're going to mend your ways and be Elisha ben Avuya, of course we're going to do truth. That's how the Rav interpreted that. Yeah. Well, again, weiter. Noch nafshe de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda died. Also lebei midrasha, so that everybody came to the Beis Medrash. Amalahu, no, he came to the Beis Medrash.
The guy
came to the Beis Medrash, and he said, "Sharuli, please release me from the neder." Amrule Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said, "Gavra the chashiv ki Rabbi Yehuda, a person as significant as Rabbi Yehuda, leka hacha the lishrei lach." There's nobody in our Beis Medrash who is the equal of Rabbi Yehuda, so we can't be matir the neder. What should you do? Elazil legabe the Rabbi Yehuda nesia. Go to Rabbi Yehuda. It's not what you call Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. It's the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who was called Rabbi Yehuda nesia. There were like 10 generators of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shim Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel the Sheni, Shim Gamliel the Sheni, Rabbi, Rabbi Yudin the Seer. But he was a Nasi. Go to him. Why? He can be Matir Neder for you. Azal Likameh. So he came to Rabbi Yudin the Seer. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Amalei l'Rab Ami, Puk Ayein Bedine. Please look into it. Imi bari l'mishrei lo. If it's appropriate to what? To release him, then go ahead and release him. Iain Rab Ami Bedine. So Rab Ami looked into the case and Savra l'mishrei. He thought it would be appropriate to release him from the thing. Amar Rab Shmuel ben Nachmani. Al Raglav, Rab Shulman Achmi got up and said, and he said the following: Uma Shivcha shel Beis Rebbe, the maidservant of Rebbe's household. Lo nohagu chachamim kalus rosh beniduya shaloshanim. She put somebody into Cheirim once. Rabbi Yehuda's maidservant was apparently an outstanding Talmud Chacham. The Gemara speaks about her Amsei the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. She was a real Talmud Chacham, and she put somebody into Cheirim, and they refused to release the Cheirim for 3 full years. Shaloshanim. Yehuda Chaveirenu Alachas Kama V'Kama. Rabbi Yehuda, who is our colleague, a lot more significant than Amsei the Rabbi Yehuda, than Rabbi Anasi, of course we should not do so. Amar Abzeira. Rab Zeira added fuel to the fire. Why we should accept Rab Shmuel Banachmani's statement and not be Matir Neder. Why? My de kamon de asa ha'idna hay saba bebeit midrasha. Isn't it interesting that Shmuel ben Achmani showed up today in the Beis Medrash? The Hakama Shani lo asa. He hasn't been in this Beis Medrash for many years. Punktlich today he comes and he pipes up and tells us this. That's a sign from heaven that what? We should not be. Shma mina lo miboya lemishrelo. So we've learned from here that you should not be matuneder. Lo sharolei. So they decided to what? Not to release this guy from the nether. Not to release the guy from the nether.
The nether?
No, from the shamta, from the nidui, from the nidui. Yeah. Now, the Ravid asks a question, and he's quoted by the Ran. So go back to page 2 for a minute. The Ravid asks, Uma, second bracketed paragraph, Uma shivcha shabes Rebbe lo noga chachamim, hiksha ha Ravid zal. Why exactly in this case of someone who was put into cherem by the maid servant of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did they not release the kvar? V'im toimar, if you want to suggest kvar mesa, that she died, v'hi haisa gedoyla mikol hachachamim sheba'oso haderos, maybe she was the greatest Talmudic scholar in her generation. Hard to imagine that. But maybe she was. And then, no one felt comfortable releasing her, this guy from the Nidui. For ha'ika hasam nasi. There was a nasi there. V'hu Rabban Gamliel. Shematiris kulam. Kidam rinan. Niduhu v'lo yodami niduhu. Yeilach eitzo nasi. So, why couldn't they go to Rabban Gamliel, who was a Nasi, and they could release the Neder? What's the problem? So, Tirei Zal, so the Ravid answers, the Hada Aminon, the Nasi, Matir, that which a Nasi can release a Nidui, Dafka Hastekos. It's only a situation where you don't know who put him into Nidui. Kigon shelo yada miho amenude, dazlian b'sfeika basaruba, ruba di Yisrael lo shakli lahadi nasi. Most people are not equal to the nasi. Avo kishiminade yodua, but when you know exactly who the minade was, like in our case, for who choshuv, and he's a significant person, kol adam misyarei milishkol atzmo kignedo. Every person is afraid to weigh himself, to compare himself to that person. Why? She'im shavalo b'chachma, because if he is, even if you want to assume that he's his equal intellectually, shema ein shavalo b'yirah shamayim, b'yirah shchet, v'lo b'gdula, v'lo b'minyin shanim. There's so many things. Greatness, yirah shamayim, years old, and so on and so forth. So as a result, if you know who the person is, even the Nasi is reluctant to be a Matir Neder. These types of statements have always troubled me. How does anybody know? What is the Yirah Shamayim meter that you use? Oh, what does he do? He doesn't eat Chalav Akum during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Is that on the Yirah Shamayim meter that now makes him more frum, greater Yiras Chet than somebody else? How do you measure somebody who's Gadol Menah B'Chachma? I've never understood that in the halacha that you cannot override a Bezdin unless it's Gadol Menah. How do you know if he's Gadol? So some Rishonim means he has more Talmidim. Okay, more that doesn't what the phrase means. Gadol Menah B'Chachma.
Isn't that what he's saying? That you don't know?
But how do you evaluate it?
Have to be.
Okay, so if I know that I'm, if it's, so how do you usually know that? How do you usually know? How do, what? Because it's what people say. That's all. People say. What made Rav Moshe the Pesach Adar? We didn't have an election, right? People asked them questions, and that was it. If people recognize that this person's stature is greater than that one, then that's what happens. There were plenty of other Pesachim at the time. Rav Henkin was a very big Pesach. Big Pesach. But there were many Sephardic Pesachim of a decade ago. But no one ever said they were as big as Rav Yosef. So it's the people, it's the people's court who make that decision. So it's a little difficult. Yeah.
But if you have a situation of menuda and you have no idea who the menuda was, logistically, how can that even happen? Does somebody just let a slight rumor float? I heard that this one was.
I understand. Look what's where this thing's going. Yeah.
Anybody can.
I hear you. I hear you. Okay, we'll stop here.
Okay.
Continue next to us. Are we coming Christmas Eve? Of course.